Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This episode has been sponsored by Bookhampton. As the premier independent bookstore in the Hamptons, Bookhampton has a highly curated selection of books for readers of all ages, unique one-of-a-kind gifts, and exciting author events. Browse their fabulous staff suggestions online at bookhampton.com. I'm here today with Sharon Rowe. Sharon is an eco pioneer, the founder and CEO of EcoBags Products, Inc. She's the author of The Magic of Tiny Business, You Don't Have to Go Big to Make a Great Living. She has spoken around the world about building profitable, mission-aligned businesses, from Sing Sing to Nairobi to Yale University. She has been featured in Glamour, The Wall Street Journal, NPR, and her bags made an appearance on Oprah's Earth Day episode. Sharon lives in the Hudson River Valley with her husband. Her 2 grown children live out of state, and her son actually illustrated this book and is an illustrator for The New Yorker. So welcome, Sharon. Thanks so much for being on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So your journey is so interesting. You were an actress, mm-hmm. a young mother. Mm-hmm. You decided to start eco bags. You invented a new reusable bag to replace the plastic bags you saw flying around. Tell me how you went from being, you know, a crazy new mom moment to a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah, well, they always say things happen when you least expect them, right? Or they all, like, everybody moves when everything else is falling apart. So it was kind of like that. I was working a job that was a position I had downtown, and I was a sales executive, and I wasn't really into it, really. It didn't really matter to me personally. I was making some money, but that was about it. And then I got pregnant, and I told my manager about that, and he said, well, when are you coming back? And that was the first signal that maybe this wasn't going to work for me. But I started working from home when I had my son. At the same time, though, I just started being annoyed by the barrage of single-use plastic bags I saw on the street and the trees and the river, and also the fact that when I would take one home, it would break. It wasn't even useful for a second use. So I thought, well, I don't want to be part of this anymore. I don't want to use single-use plastic bags. And I remembered using filet in France, which are these French net bags. Long story short, some friends brought some back for me to the U.S. I started using them in my neighborhood. I got some really weird looks. And I got some interested looks. And I got some questions. And so I don't know. I just sort of thought this could be a business, even though there was no demand, there was no market, and no one was talking about this. Okay. So I went home one night and I said to my husband, I think I have a business idea. And I told him.
Had you ever started another type of business?
Even
as a kid or anything? This was out of the blue?
This was completely out of the blue. I mean, I had been an actress in New York, so I knew how to be bold, even if I got crushed afterwards, right? And I had worked in my dad's retail store growing up, right. So I understood retail. But no, it kind of just came to me that I should do this because I could be in charge of my own time. Mm-hmm. But I had to make a living. It was not something I could leave on the side. And so anyway, I sat down with my husband. I said, I have this idea. And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, what should we call it? And he said, oh, eco bags. And he's a lyricist. So we said, okay, great. And we said, let's give it a couple months to try it. Let's see if there's demand. And that was basically it.
And how did you copy the French bag or did you make a prototype or?
I based it on the French bag, but back then there was no internet. So I had to contact all the consulates to out who was exporting the kind of bag I wanted. And this was all by fax, right? And I went to the German consulate and the French consulate and the Italian consulate and the Spanish consulate. And the first ones to respond were the Germans, who had about the same bag, not exactly. It was more square on the bottom. And the French, like, never responded to me. And I'm not kidding. To this day, they never responded. The Italians responded about a year later with the most beautiful bag and the most expensive bag. And I can't remember what happened to the Spanish. I actually have some of those prototypes in my attic still.
Should post them on Instagram.
I should post them on Instagram. Yeah. So that's what I did. And so the Germans were the first to respond, and they said, we have them. And I said, okay, I'll take a case. And I started bringing them in, and I started using them and giving them to friends and walking up and down Amsterdam and Columbus Avenue, knocking on doors, saying to store owners, I have this idea. It's called reusable bags. I'd like to introduce this. What do you think? And slowly, I got responses. You know, some people were like, you're what? Even in the natural products industry, when I got into that, they were, what's a reusable bag? Why would you want to, you know, use a durable bag, carry your own bag. It's so easy. It's so cheap, you know, to have a plastic bag. So there was no market when I started.
It's so impressive.
Yeah.
Because now it seems so obvious, right? Of course we should have reusable bags. Why wouldn't we have someone has to be the first one.
And someone has to be the first one. And I know, I mean, when I started, I didn't have any other touch points for people doing what I was doing because there was no internet.
Right.
I couldn't Google it. You know, I was in Washington Heights. I had to make a living. I had a young child. I had a husband who was a musician and a part-time teacher. And so we were just hustling, you know. We were just making it work. And I wanted it to work. And I wanted it to work according to my terms.
Yep.
You know, I didn't want to be jerked around. And P.S., the reason I started the company, too, it overlapped that job I referenced.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was at home doing my work. I was sitting at the computer, you know, and talking to clients and whatnot. And I went to use the loo. And I got a phone call from my manager. And he started screaming at me, like, why aren't you at your desk? And I thought, this is crazy. I was one of the top performing salespeople for them. And so I picked up the phone and I said, you know, I quit.
Good for you.
And he said, you can't quit. And I said, no, actually, I can.
Yeah.
Click. And that night, my husband came home and I said, I don't have a job. So that's when the business of eco bags got real.
Have you seen the movie A Star Is Born?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
So there's this great scene in the beginning where
she has a manager basically be totally rude in that same way, and she had the same thing as you. So when you watch it, you can see yourself, you know, quitting your job and, you know, it's like, why do we have to have people be rude in a workplace?
It was bold, but, you know, you have to sometimes, if it's getting you in your gut, if you're getting to that point where,
right.
It's not healthy.
And you have all these fantastic tips for how to run a business, and I don't want to say work-life balance because that's such a trite expression, but you really like lay out in very clear terms some really great suggestions for how people, especially moms, since that was sort of what you were going through at the time, like you in particular say, and I'm looking at my notes to make sure I get it right, that you block out first time for your family, then your workouts / meditation, and then you put your actual work time in your calendar.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you really do that?
I really do that.
You really do that?
Yeah. Well, right now my kids are grown.
Well, right. I know. So, but I meant prior and everything.
Well, when I had, family first, and it should be noted, though, when I was running the business, I had childcare. Mm-hmm. I shared a babysitter with my neighbor upstairs, so it was perfect. And then when my kids were a little older, they went to daycare and stuff like that because I would never be able to work around them in the house. But family first. So I would take care of the kids in the morning. And my husband, when he was there, you know, we'd share, walk them to school or get them on the bus, whichever situation, you know, was at that time. And then I would always have in my calendar, go for a swim, go for a walk, you know, whatever I was going to do that day. And I would call it a business event. I would make it a business event for myself because I knew that if it was a personal event, I might override it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I can move the swim. But you know what? If I move the swim from 2 to 3, I get to the pool and at 3, you know, the swim team's there. And I don't get a lane, and I have to wait, and it's not efficient. So I kept it in my calendar as business events, and then I would schedule the work in blocks around those times.
And in the book, you said it's really important, like, when your work time elapsed, that was it. You just stopped working. You like got up even in the middle of things, and that was it.
Absolutely.
That's so impressive. It's so hard to do that without tying up loose ends and everything.
It is. Like. Yeah. And it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't always successful. And I say if you're successful, at least 80% of the time you're good, 20% of the time things just fall apart. And to be honest, sometimes 30%.
Okay.
Sometimes 100% falls apart. Just be kind to yourself.
Right.
You're working hard. You are enough. You know, you're doing what you can do, and then get back on the practice schedule. And over time, you build a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that I don't challenge that muscle even now, you know, 8 years later. You do.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you didn't use work-life balance because I think we have a life.
Yeah.
And part of our life is our work.
Mm-hmm.
And our work is business, and it's also family. Family is work. I mean, it depends how you want to look at it, but it's all basically a practice.
It's true.
And it's how you want to set it up. And because you're in charge, you can change your rules.
Which is nice.
Which is nice. That's a huge freedom. I mean, we have an enormous amount of freedom if you actually get to choose. And I think even if you feel like you can't choose, because when I had 2 children, right, I got even more done. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The more kids you have.
Yeah, that's why I'm so productive.
That's right.
Should have had another kid.
Because you know you have to do it.
Yeah.
And you have to stop at a certain point. And then it also forces efficiencies. Because maybe that thing that you were tying up the loose end on the day before maybe wasn't so important. And you could tie it up with, you know, just by writing that last sentence or putting the period as opposed to trying to make it perfect.
I know sometimes people are like, well, how do you have 4 kids and you do a podcast and you write, da, 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 how do you do it all? And I've been trying to answer that question. And I'm sort of like, well, I use like every minute of my day.
Right.
Like I'm not sitting on the couch watching TV ever. Like every minute I'm like, am I being as productive as I can? And it's like, go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Until I like read for, you know, this stuff to go to sleep.
Right.
Like, you just have to be more strategic.
Right. You have to be strategic about your downtime too.
Yeah.
And the time when you don't have the phone near you and nobody can interrupt you, even if it's 10 minutes a day. I've been doing meditation. I think I'm on a 7-day streak. That's like
good for you. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
But I realized it's only 10 minutes in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using one of the apps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even get out of bed. Are you, you know, sit straight? Your spine is aligned? I'm like, no, I'm lying down. This works for me.
Yeah.
You know, but it's how I'm getting back into that practice. And we'll see how long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a nice quote in the book about how you don't want your family life. You say, allowing work to bleed into everyday family activities is not only draining, but can lead to some pretty ugly situations and mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you give some good examples
yeah.
in the book.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually can't remember all the ones in the book, but I remember one where I was working and my son came over and he was playing in the drawer and he picked up like really sharp scissors and I'm on the phone and I'm like, okay, it's a really big client, but my son, my 2-year-old is walking around with really sharp scissors. Okay, this isn't working. Yeah. You know, I think kids are kind of like, well, don't take this the wrong way, are kind of like dogs though in a way. Mm-hmm. They want your attention when they want it. And if you give it to them fully for that minute or that 2 minutes or you solve their problem, you can, if you engage with them, they'll redirect or you can redirect them. But if you keep saying, not now, not now, go mm-hmm. away, mommy's busy, not now, no. And if you say no, and it's not a conscious no, it's going to come back to you because they're going to be more persistent.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I think it's so hard now that work, like everything is intermingled on the phone.
Yeah.
And you can be doing, sometimes you have to be on the phone. Like sometimes, I don't know, like all the emails, it's not like work is, like when I started out in the workplace, I would go to an office and my
right.
work emails would be on that computer. And then I could leave that office mm-hmm. and I wouldn't be able to access those emails.
Right.
And obviously now it's like just constant. And sometimes I find myself even like walking up the stairs with my kid and I'm like trying to email back or confirm an interview or something. And I'm like, and then I have your voice in my head now saying like, don't let it bleed into your life. Because that's really what it's doing.
It's doing,
it's
yeah.
It's like I'm with the kid, but I'm not really.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think I was lucky because the phones didn't come out till my children were like, I think Julian was 10 or 11, 12, but they weren't so pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have that as much, but I remember when they were teenagers. Actually, it's really important when they're teenagers because when they finally want your attention,
yeah.
that's special.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, they're just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, you know, I'm not there
close
yet,
the door. Don't look in my room. I'll get to it when I can. Yeah, I know. I wish there was like a way to have a separate personal email account, except I'm blended.
Right. Me too. I tried that.
I did too. Like, it failed. Know, yeah. Epic fail.
I mean, it all just goes to the surface.
I've learned better at swiping, you know, delete, 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 yeah. delete, delete. And then I'm like, oh, crap, I just deleted something important.
Yeah.
And you've got to go back in. Yeah.
So back to this magic of tiny business. Mm. You define tiny in an interesting way in the book because you don't mean a small business in terms of employee or even revenue.
No.
So tell us what you mean by a small, a tiny business.
Tiny business is really a state of mind, like a tiny house. It's very intentional. The business is built on something that really matters to you and fulfills your personal goals. So for me, it was a cultural impact goal. You know, I wanted to see reusable bags enter the market, and I wanted to see people be more thoughtful about the waste that they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, I had an income goal, right? I needed to make a living for my family. And I had an environmental goal and a social goal, which was to produce a product that had a message sustainably, that wasn't produced on the backs of other people. You know, I knew what was going on in other countries in terms of not fair wage or fair labor. So that's where I came from. So I think it's very personal, but it's a mindset. And it's something that when you're starting a business, you may not have all the answers. You don't know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look at what you don't want, because most people know what they don't want. I didn't want to work 10 hours a day. I didn't want to work on weekends. I didn't want to purchase goods at the cheapest available amount from sources that there was no transparency. And this was 28 years ago. So again, nobody was really talking about this stuff. I kind of don't even know where some of that stuff came from. Maybe it came from my dad in the retail store and the fact that we always knew Joey, who was I forgot what they're called, but he would bring in the jeans. My dad sold jeans pre-Gap.
Wow.
So we knew, and we used to come down, Walter Matthau's brother, Hank, used to have a loft in Soho, and we would come down here to get all the Army-Navy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
We always knew our supply chain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we didn't know it to the manufacturer, but I wanted to know it all the way back. So all these influences combined gave me my why, and then I had to really look seriously at what's my how. How do I execute, and how do I stay true to what I value most as part of this company so that I don't get pinged?
Right.
That kind of awful feeling you get when you compromise to the point where you know it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant, again, going back to priorities, I really had to do a deep dive. And this is over time. So I can't expect anybody to do this right away. In fact, I would never do it if somebody asked me to do it. I would take time. Is look at what's the most important. And what was the most important was raising my kids, putting food on the table, having friends over for dinner. I mean, and going for walks in the park. These are all really manageable.
Yeah.
At any stage.
And I
love have your health.
And I love how you just outlined it in the book. Like, you're not afraid to put your walk or your swim or whatever it's important to you, because otherwise, I mean, you only get to live once. You're not going to have it in your life at all, right?
Yeah. And I'm getting this a lot, that at my age, a friend just died last week, and
I'm sorry.
And she was my age. And my cousin just died last week, and he was only 10 years older. And, you think, I'm going to live to 100 because invest for your future. Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things conspiring in this world, and we're not always in charge.
It's true.
So live every day as full as you can. And again, this is in retrospect. I mean, I hope I was present in as many moments as possible while I had my children and my husband. I know I was not perfect, but I'm still married same guy.
It's better than me. I'm on my second marriage.
But you found love.
Yes.
You found what
Yeah.
That's what's important. You found what doesn't compromise and what really lights you up and which opens your heart.
True.
Yeah, and you found kindness.
I'm not going to talk about this.
Okay.
I can't talk about this.
Okay.
Another piece of advice in the book, and then I want to talk about how you ended up making this into a book.
Sure.
Nice to do versus need to do lists. Do you still keep those?
I do. Well, it's not always a list. It's basically a choice of what I do next. I mean, my desk is not a orderly place. I love all the new scientific studies that are coming out saying, people who are messy are really creative, because my desk is a mess. So
the insides of my cabinets are a mess. I try to keep the outside clean.
Well, good for you.
Everything inside is like...
Yeah, I file things really carefully. That's interesting. But I can never find them.
Yeah.
I write everything on stickies, and I write the same thing multiple times because my brain doesn't work in a linear fashion. I'm much more circular and spirally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll revisit the same thing, three or four times, and that's when I'm like, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are less important kind of just continually fall to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not even on a schedule. Every now and then I just look at my desk and go, that's a mess, and I just take everything. And I mean, there might even be good ideas on those papers, but I'm practicing impermanence. They go in the recycling bin. If it's really important, it's going to come back. Or I'll call someone like Anne Marie and I'll say, what did I say? I'll call a friend and say, what was that thing that, because we can always find it somehow.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so how did you take all this and decide to make it into a book?
Okay. So the book thing was an evolution. First of all, it started with me being really bored with my business and just like, ugh, I don't want to do this anymore, because it started turning into a commodity business as opposed to a culture shift business.
Mm-hmm.
I really started it to spread a message and to seed an idea. And especially in the recession, it was really, really tough. So I decided I needed to do something to light myself up. And I'm an actress, but it's really hard to find roles and then commit to the schedules, and you have to show up for rehearsals, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, what can I do now that I can do for the rest of my life, no matter what my health situation is and if my hand works? And I said, I could write. So I started writing every day. And I started writing 10 minutes every day, then 15 minutes every day. Then I think I got up to a half an hour. And I would use my phone and I would set the timer. And whenever it ended, I stopped. Even mid-sentence, I just stopped. And I knew I had to do that because it made me hungry to go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the ideas would have an opportunity to kind of mature and just sort of, or go away if they were not so good. And I wasn't writing about anything in particular. Like if I was writing today, I'd say, oh, the microphone, the chair, the cat. It just freeform writing. So that in combination with the fact that I would sit at the piano, and also we have a piano in the house. I was thinking, oh, I should play an instrument. I was like, oh, there's a piano. Okay, there it is.
How about that one?
How about that? And a friend had given us one of those sand timers. Mm-hmm. That's actually where it started. So I started improvising on the piano for about 10 to 15 minutes a day. And I'm not really a pianist. I mean, I studied when I was a kid, but my husband's a pianist. And just getting those vibrations going. So somehow all of that led to this idea of maybe I'll write a book, which was prompted by a woman I know and a friend who's part of the Women's President's Organization. And this is an organization with women with businesses well over $1 million. And some of them are extremely successful. And one of these very successful businesswomen said, I love how you live your life. And I was like, oh, what? You know, she kind of woke me up. She said, I like what you're doing. I can see. And I said, and in my own self-critical way, I was like, but yours is much bigger. Your business is, you know, 10 times mine. And she said, but yeah, you seem to move in and out of things with more ease. You're not carrying that stress. And I was like, oh, okay, if that's what you see. I worked to not negate it,
mm-hmm.
which is another practice.
Yes.
Right? Like, oh, I like your shirt. Oh, I only got it at Marshall's instead of thank you.
I do this too. I'm like, oh, I'm
we're
like
trained.
The queen of that. That's
we're
like
trained. Yeah, yeah, I really like, yeah, whatever.
It was on sale.
Yeah. So Deb is her name. She got me thinking about that. And then I chewed on that bone for about 3 years with a friend of mine when I would walk with her in LA. And finally she said, would you just shut up and write it? So, you know, she really pissed me off. And I said, okay, fine. And I continued the writing practice. So, you know, mostly it was every day. I got pretty good at writing every day. Yeah. And I wrote a play. Not very good. I wrote a couple of short stories. I say not very good because I had it read. So I need to go back to it. And my friend Tessa, who said, you know, just write it.
Mm-hmm.
She really pushed me over the edge. She's a producer. So she's like, just come on. So I wrote on Facebook, does anyone know anyone who knows anyone in publishing? And a friend of mine said, yeah, you should talk to Neil over at Barrett Kohler. Turns out, because we're in the same social business circle, I met him at a conference. I pitched him my idea, which was based on something my sister said on a couch in her house. She said, oh, yeah, you have a tiny business. I said, oh, I could work with that. So she gave me tiny. She didn't expand it, right? But she gave me that. I pitched him and he said, yes.
Amazing.
And then I had no idea what to do. I mean, I had never written a book, right? I had run a business for all these years and I'd never had no idea where to start. So I figured out that I had to write a proposal and I hired someone, Jeff Davis from Tracking Wonder Quest. So I used him and he really helped me see what I needed to do for a proposal. And while I was writing it, after Neil said yes, because he said submit it by X, I got a phone call from a friend of ours' daughter. And Kayla said, can you recommend any business books? Every single business book I see is boring.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. She's a makeup artist. And I realized at that moment that my business was I wanted to solve the inaccessibility of business books for creative people.
Love that. Yeah.
You know, and I'd already seen Show Your Work by Austin Kleon, mm-hmm. and I loved his approach because I too couldn't read all those other business books. Mm-hmm. I just, okay, put me to sleep now. You know, just too thick, too cramped. So all those sort of influences got me to the point where I put the proposal together and then they said yes to the proposal and then I had to get busy.
And do you have any advice to either an entrepreneur with an idea, tiny or not tiny, or to anyone aspiring to write their, you know, best practices in the way that you have?
Yeah, I would say get started. Don't be afraid to share your idea with people. And listen to the people who are positive and negative. Because in the negative responses or the not like, yeah, yay responses, there's a lot of information. You know, I remember I called up a friend of mine who was in publishing and I pitched her the same thing that I pitched the publisher. And she was not really, you know, kind of like
she didn't give me thumbs up. And I met with an agent before I met with the publisher. And also, it wasn't her cup of tea. But I could see that things have to fit a market.
Mm-hmm.
And you either have to meet a market or make a market. And they're the same in different, in many different ways. But you have to have your intentionality in place so that you can at least walk in with some ideas and they can shift. It's kind of like setting out for a road trip. You know, you set out to go to Nashville, but you're like, oh, you want to stop there? There's some, you know, some barbecue.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're this person at the barbecue saying, oh, yeah, you got to check out this tea shop down the street. And you're sort of wandering off. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Erin.
Thank you.
This was so lovely chatting with you.
Yeah.
And I'm so impressed with everything you've done and the way you just sort of saw a problem and solved it. And
thank you.
Amazing. And thank you for sharing your advice in such a relatable, easy to follow, actionable way. It's really, really helpful.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for that. Because my goal with the book is to have more people seeding their ideas, and specifically more women, too, to seed their ideas, to not think that it has to be perfect to go out of the gate.
Yeah.
You know, it can be as imperfect as it is. Just work it and listen and be kind to yourself. So that's my mixed message.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This episode has been sponsored by Bookhampton, bookhampton.com.
Thanks to Ryan and Steve at Texture Sound for the audio editing and mixing.
Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.